Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Live from high above downtown Billings, Montana, this is David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint on Montana Talks. We got open phones for the entire show and frankly, the entire week, 406-294-0970. You can find me here in Billings practicing law as an attorney. That's Noble with a K. If you want to find me, you can find me online at LectureFan on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, you name it, LCTRFAN. Let's go to George in Billings. George, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, David. David, I have a question and then a couple comment, and then I'll make have a question for you. I understand this bank that went broke in the Silicon Valley was big into ESG. And I was wondering if this other bank that went broke, that they took control of and shut down over in New York, was also into ESG. And my comment is I hope every one of these ESG banks and big brokerage houses like BlackRock go broke. I hope they all go broke.
Amen.
And I don't think we ought to bail them out.
I agree.
Was this bank in New York also a big ESG bank?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I'll certainly try to look it up. I would bet money that it was, just because these leftists have infiltrated all of these businesses to where most of them are. That's the like horrible thing about this, is that this Silicon Valley Bank isn't sort of unique in pushing radical left-wing ideas. I still find it so staggering, and I talked about this a lot during the 6 o'clock hour, but it's 2 hours later, and so I want to mention it again. The committee to Unleash Prosperity has a screenshot of Silicon Valley Bank's own website showing company news for SVB, and this is what it says. Silicon Valley Bank commits to $5 billion in sustainable finance and carbon-neutral operations to support a healthier planet. And so $5 billion to try to control the climate, and $5 billion to fight against fossil fuels and to hate human development and civil society, $5 billion. And then guess what? It was actually a $1.9 billion loss that led to this bank run. What happened was is that John Tester triggered inflation. John Tester triggered massive inflation. That forced the Federal Reserve to hike rates. And then John Tester refused to cut spending, which then made the inflation continue to run hot, even though the Fed was raising rates, and caused the Fed to continue to raise rates and hold rates higher, which then caused the hundreds of billions of dollars in long-term treasury bonds that Silicon Valley Bank held to drastically lose value. And then SVB depositors started to pull money, and SVB goes and sells a bunch of bonds and takes a $2 billion loss. And then that triggers a bank run, and now there's a bailout, and our dollars are going to fund it. And guess what? They lost $2 billion on that, but they actually had lost $5 billion earlier on radical left-wing policies.
State of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We just had a caller ask about Signature Bank and whether they were woke. And I started searching on Google, and one of the first things that comes up about Signature Bank, which is the second bank that now has failed and is being bailed out by the Trump administration. And look, we can get into the specifics of this. It's just, I'm not the only one saying that this is a bailout, okay? The Wall Street Journal editorial board is calling this a bailout. Vivek Ramaswamy is calling this a bailout. Lots of other people are calling this a bailout, because when the federal government comes in and guarantees depositors, and then the Federal Reserve comes in and guarantees unlimited loans to banks, Those are two bailouts, actually. There's been two bailouts here. But here, one of the first stories about Signature Bank is that Signature Bank had closed Trump's account to virtue signal how woke it was. So the Signature Bank, the bank that failed and has now been bailed out by the Democrats, including John Tester and Joe Biden, was so woke that they closed Trump's account. So I'm assuming they were also huge into ESG. I'm sure that they spent billions on trying to control Earth's climate. It's all there, folks. It's all happening. So anyway, let's go back to the phones. We've got Gary in Billings. Gary, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning, David. Thanks for taking my call. What I'm calling about is these big articles that the Kangaroo Court, which I told Travis, they're going after him for sexual reasons 20 years ago or better, and hush up. Have you heard about that?
No, tell me.
Well, this is I call it a kangaroo court that are Democrats going after Trump because he supposedly had sex with Stormy Daniels and paid hush money to cover it up. But this goes way back, even when in the late 90s when they're bringing this up. But the question is, how come they go after a man, and look at Bill Clinton and the things that he did, but they don't go after Joe Biden, which is destroying our country?
Yeah, I think the answer is corruption.
Well, whatever it is, we just have such a mess of people trying to take down a man that could save our country. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump's a perfect man. Nobody is, but Why is it we spend all this money investigation, even in the riot on January 6th that's coming out now, that he didn't have anything to do with that?
Yep. No, you're right. I think you're right.
Your comment?
Well, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. I think you're right. I think we've got a two-tier justice system here, and the damage that they are doing to the public respect for the rule of law and law enforcement and the FBI and the DOJ is almost incomprehensible. People no longer respect the Department of Justice. People no longer respect the FBI. People no longer respect the federal government. We do not have a fair system. You're absolutely right. Donald Trump has been investigated constantly, nonstop, by every single imaginable investigation. He's been investigated by the federal government. He's been investigated by the FBI. He's been investigated by numerous other little federal agencies. He's been investigated by Congress when the Democrats controlled Congress. He's been investigated by the Senate when the Democrats controlled. He's been investigated by the New York Attorney General. He's been investigated by the New York financial regulators. He's been investigated by state attorneys in Georgia. I mean, investigation after investigation into Trump. And interestingly, you know, they don't have anything on him. I would love to see anybody go through the number of investigations that Trump has gone through and come out as squeaky clean as Trump has. It's staggering. I don't know if there's anybody that is as well behaved as Trump. I don't know, and I can't imagine anybody in Washington D.C. going through that many investigations and them not finding anything. You're absolutely right, Gary. Like, if we had a fair system, Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's corruption would be investigated nonstop. And the Clinton Foundation, you know, it's so absurd. Think about this. The New York state government, the New York Attorney General, is going to investigate the Trump Foundation for they didn't report some fringe benefits that they paid to employees. They paid for parking. The Trump Foundation paid for parking for one of its executives, but didn't disclose that or something like that. But not a word about the Clinton Foundation. Not a word about money laundering and accepting payments from our foreign adversaries by Biden. This stuff goes on and on and on. And unfortunately, we have a two-tiered justice system. I think that's clear. It's not fair. Donald Trump has been investigated nonstop. and you know, it's just a really bad thing. We got some callers on the line. I really don't want to go to the callers because we only got 30 seconds left here. But we got Tim in Billings and Francis in Big Fork. We'll get to both of you right after this break. Meanwhile, we've got some quotes from Joe Biden from this morning I want to play as well. The Democrats feverishly saying, this is not a bailout, this is not a bailout, this is not a bailout. Well, when the Democrats obsessively say that this is not a bailout, that's probably your first sign that this is a bailout.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We've got open phones all day today, but not just today. Open phones all week long. Let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, thanks for calling.
Morning, Mr. Noble. So I believe our entire financial system is corrupt, you know, beyond repair. And have you ever heard of bank bail-ins?
I have.
Yeah, that's what worries me that's coming next, is the banks have a bail-in where your money, my money, we go to the bank, we try to pull it out because we are scared, or we'd rather buy food and seeds and ammo and water filtration and stuff because we think there's imminent problems coming, and the bank has taken the money out of our accounts because, well, they need it. They need to pay back those billionaire investors and things like that. So that's what concerns me. But another thing that you mentioned, the two-tier justice system, and I always like to say, I think it was Dan Bongino said it, it's the accountable class and the unaccountable class. And who's doing the prosecuting? Well, many of these places where they don't prosecute people who are actually committing crime are funded by George Soros. And I got to thinking about that the other day, and is George Soros a citizen of the United States? Do you know? I haven't looked into it, and I'm not sure if he is or not. But
I don't know.
If Paul Manafort, General Flynn, if all these people can get in trouble for FARA violations, foreign agent registration, foreign aid registration, something like that,
right.
Where they advocate for a foreign government. They all got in trouble for it. But what about all these people who take money from George Soros? If he's not a U.S. citizen, he may not be a country, but he is definitely a foreign agent. You know, are these people not all in violation of FARA FARA regulations? If that's the case, if they're taking money from him and his shell game of different foundations, I mean, we really need to remove this guy from our system because he is a devastating, corrupt and destructive individual.
Yeah, there's no question. He's been a net negative in terms of all of the stuff that he supported. I really don't know. I really don't know where he is a citizen of, or if he's an American citizen. I really don't know the answer to that. But in terms of your other comment about the corruption in the United States, you know, there is a lot of corruption here, and there's no question about it. And we've got, you're right about the prosecutors being funded by George Soros, and they fund these prosecutors because we have a thing in American law called prosecutorial discretion. That means that prosecutors have discretion about what crimes to prosecute and which crimes not to. And you know, what's gone on with January 6th and with these new videos coming out is a travesty. And we have unequal application of the law. I think we're having constitutional violations left and right, equal protection violations left and right. And you know, I heard Friday's 9 a.m. hour, the 9 o'clock hour on Friday's show, where Aaron was talking to Daria, drawing a blank on her last name, but she's the woman that stood up for free speech and ended up suing Montana State University and having a settlement, and they had Matthew Monfort and her attorney on. And you know, my takeaway from that was there needs to be a lot more lawsuits filed. every, and because there's constitutional violations happening against mainly just conservatives all across America. Conservatives' constitutional rights are being violated, whether it's by directly by the government, whether it's by these public universities, you name it. And we have got to start bringing lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit and protecting our constitutional rights. And that 9 a.m. hour on Friday, if you haven't listened to that, check out the Montana Talks app. Go listen to Aaron's 9 a.m. hour from the Friday show. It was really powerful stuff. Let's go back to the phones. We got Francis in Big Fork. Francis, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I was listening to the radio this morning, and they were talking about how China now is working with Saudi Arabia. They've never worked together before.
Yep.
And so, you know, this government, or Obama, as I think he's behind most of this because Joe Biden doesn't know what's going on. And he never had any policies in the first place that made any sense.
Right.
You know.
Well, you got you got Susan Rice. Susan Rice is in the Biden administration, and she's an Obama administration holdover.
Yeah. And he put a lot of people when he put them in the civil service. So you're stuck with them in Washington.
That's been a huge strategy.
They are terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Biden's that smart or if George Soros is behind him.
Well, it's a good point to bring up that Saudi Arabia China deal. China basically brokered this new arrangement between Saudi Arabia and Iran for them to try to normalize their relations. Of course, Saudi Arabia and Iran are mortal enemies and traditionally have been. You know, Iran they're Persian, and I believe they're Shiites, where in Saudi Arabia are Arab and Sunni. If I got that right, I'm 90% sure that's right, certainly right on the ethnicity part, but they've been historically enemies, and now you've got China basically being the power broker in the Middle East. It's an example of Joe Biden ceding American world leadership. This would be unthinkable to have happened. But you know what Joe Biden did in Afghanistan, and then his weakness in other foreign policy areas has really led to a devastating impact on American national security. And with China now being the power broker in the Middle East, an area where traditionally America has had a lot of sway, is not good at all. It's a major problem. And China and weakness on China in the South China Sea has been a huge issue. And there's a big Wall Street Journal piece this weekend about how China has basically pushed America out of the South China Sea. And now China has got so much military buildup and military installations in these islands in the South China Sea that America can't do anything. We can't get them out unless there's going to be military action. Let's go back to the phones. We got Doug in Eureka. Doug, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Mr. Noble. Okay, I wanted to touch on this banking situation here. So I would caution people to be pay close attention to this, because there's a big sweep to introduce central bank digital currencies. There is an executive order number 14067 signed by Biden in December, I believe. This is a fairly big deal because Ukraine is totally a pilot program for this. And what it is doing is digitizing the U.S. currency and taking it into an international computer code ones and zeros rather than have. I don't want to speak beyond my ken, but I think what perhaps is happening, it's not just me, but people smarter than me, they want to create a bank panic. They want a run on the banks. They're going to all pretend that they're all, you know, they're going to play both sides. They're going to look at it as like this is a catastrophe and we're going to ride this war pony to our benefit. And that would be to force people to either lose their assets or agree to go into a safe harbor of digital currency. So this is probably their gambit. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but they are dead serious on introducing a global currency. And so that would be a method that would, that's the way I would roll with it if I was a big bully.
Yeah, no, I think you're right that they absolutely are pushing these central bank digital currencies, the CBDCs as they're known. And of course, the whole reason they want central bank digital currencies is so they can track us and they can track every financial transaction we do. And of course, they're also trying to do that with the traditional dollar. You've got the Biden administration demanding that banks provide our private, confidential financial transactions to the federal government if we have more than $600 cumulative transactions in a year, which is every single American on the face of the earth. But no, the financial scrutiny of the federal government is outrageous. And now, you know, Biden and the Democrats and John Tester, you know, just spent tens of billions of dollars hiring tens of thousands of new IRS agents to come after and harass American citizens and, you know, blue collar workers and middle class Americans, and you name it, that's who these people are going after. Joe Biden trying to crank up taxes on Americans too to pay for all of his blowout spending. It's a bad deal. And then, of course, you've got, you know, there's a Wall Street Journal opinion piece here this weekend as well about the civil asset forfeitures and carrying cash around, and how basically if you have cash, there's a very, very good chance if you were to get pulled over that you're going to lose your cash, even if you've done nothing wrong. And the FBI is making billions of dollars a year off of civil asset forfeitures of carrying cash. And, you know, you can't take more than $10,000 of currency across a border without disclosing it. It's all surveillance. They want the surveillance. They want to know every single transaction you do. And, you know, there was some good news. I've got a piece here somewhere. Attorney General Austin Knutson issued a statement on the tracking of firearm purchases. Yeah, here, just a couple of days ago on March 9th, Attorney General Knutson released a statement on Visa and MasterCard decision to quote-unquote pause their plan to enable tracking of firearm purchases. And I'll read the statement from the Attorney General Austin Knutson, a great statement, but they want to track everything. They want to track whenever you spend money at a firearm store. They want to track every penny you're doing for They say, oh, we just want people to pay their fair share in taxes. But if you trust that, then I've got a bridge to sell you.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
406-294-0970. If you want to be on the show, we've got open phones taking your phone calls. 406-294-0970, whatever you want to talk about. Got a couple of messages here on the Montana Talks app from Dennis in Bozeman. He says, bailouts and bail-ins don't work if nobody does business with those banks. Great point. That's why I don't feel bad for the depositors at Silicon Valley Bank, because they were the ones that were putting millions and millions and millions of dollars in a bank that was more concerned about woke policies and more concerned about trying to control the climate and more concerned about spending $5 billion on green energy and sustainable net neutral, carbon neutral footprint, this and that thing and the other thing, and environmental and social and governance and wokeism and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they're spending $5 billion on that. And so all these Silicon Valley tech startups and venture capital firms, they're the ones that put their money in these woke banks. Maybe if you're a depositor, maybe you shouldn't deposit all your money in a bank that's more worried about diversity, equity, and inclusion and man-made global warming than they are about making sound investment decisions. Does it make sense for a bank to put hundreds of billions of dollars in long-term treasury bonds paying 1.5% interest sure doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. Dennis and Bozeman also sent another message. Does Montana have laws protecting citizens against civil asset forfeiture? I don't know the answer to that, Dennis. I know that I got a number of stories here about the Montana legislature now past the midpoint, past the transmittal deadline. I've got a whole list here, sort of laws that made it, laws that didn't make it. And so we can get into some of that stuff. I don't know the answer to the civil asset forfeiture issue. I do know that there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal this weekend talking about this issue and talking about the billions of dollars that's made through this system. And so what they'll do is if you have a lot of cash on you, they'll seize your cash and they'll say it's suspicious or we think it was used in a crime. And then later on it wasn't used in a crime. And you're innocent. And so then they'll give you a form to fill out, and you fill out this form and submit this request to get your money, your cash back from the FBI. And apparently then they use that form and they say that has the effect of basically admitting that the cash was used in a crime, which people don't really know about because the government sends you this massive sort of legalese disclosure form. And so then you do that, and then maybe you get your cash back, maybe you don't, but at that point it's just sort of an administrative sort of discretionary issue by the government to whether you give it back. And, you know, look, I'm not just making this stuff up. This was in the Wall Street Journal this weekend, and there's an Institute for Justice, which is a libertarian sort of public interest law firm out there that fights against this. They've got a number of lawsuits going over these issues, and they're the ones that sort of explained, you know, how this thing worked. So kind of a big deal there. Meanwhile, I saw this story. Did you guys hear about this? Over 1,000 migrants rushed the bridge in El Paso, Texas, just yesterday. And this is from Fox News. A group of at least 1,000 migrants rushed the Paso del Norte Bridge linking Mexico to the U.S. in El Paso, Texas on Sunday to gain access to the United States, video shows. And you watch this video, and it's literally just a massive amount of people rushing this bridge, pouring into the United States illegally. Crowd control measures were used when the group of mainly Venezuelan migrants continued to press forward, though, according to sources at the border, the efforts were thwarted. You know, what's interesting about them being Venezuelans is I thought the Biden administration ended illegal immigration by Venezuelans. And you know how they did that? They just said, oh, we'll make them all legal. We'll just make them all legal. Then there's no more illegal immigration. So I'm kind of surprised to hear that there's any Venezuelan migrants coming into the country illegally, because the Biden administration legalized them all. But that's a pretty crazy video. If you wanna see this video of thousands of illegal aliens rushing the bridge, pouring into the United States, I wanted to get back to the statement by Attorney General Knudsen. This was on the Attorney General's website. It says, in response to reports that Visa, MasterCard, and Discover have decided to pause the implementation of a merchant category code for the processing of firearms purchases from gun stores, AG Knudsen issued the following statement. Quote, Visa, MasterCard, and Discover came to the correct conclusion. However, they shouldn't just pause their implementation of this plan. They should end it definitively. American Express should do the same. This measure will do nothing to improve public safety while invading consumer privacy and inviting coordination between corporations and government agencies to erode Americans' fundamental right to keep and bear arms. In September, AG Knudsen led a 24-state coalition calling on the chief executive officers of Visa, MasterCard, and American Express to abandon the plan for the firearm merchant category code and alerting them that it would potentially violate consumer protection and antitrust laws. So great job to the Attorney General. I'm so thankful we've got Austin Knudsen in the Attorney General position. This is all they want. Control over everything. And these corporations are dominated by the most radical left people. These corporations bow down to the radical left because they're terrified of getting called out on Twitter by somebody in their parents' basement. It's truly ridiculous. But they want to know every time you spend a dollar at a gun store or for ammunition or to buy a gun or anything like that, and they have no right to know that information. And the Attorney General is absolutely correct. The entire purpose of this is so that then there can be coordination between the government and these big credit card processing companies to monitor you and then to ultimately to try to prevent you from purchasing guns. Why else would they want to know? Why else do they need a code for every time you purchase use your credit card at a gun store? They don't need to know that. The only reason they would want to know it is so then they can try to punish you for it and try to discourage you from doing it. That's what they really want. They want the message to get out there that, hey, if you use your credit card at a gun store, we're going to know. And that's going to lower your social credit score if we have one, just like China does, which we're headed in that direction. And so then people are going to be less likely to go buy guns. That's what they clearly want. That's their whole thing. And this coordination between big corporations and the federal government is a major, major problem. We've been seeing that in the Twitter files, and I've got some stories here. There was recently some congressional hearings as well about the Twitter files that have come out. But the big takeaway there is that big tech and the federal government, these are the most powerful, the biggest corporations ever on earth, working with the federal government to censor and purge Americans and to violate Americans' free speech rights. This is what I'm talking about when I bring up the 9 a.m. hour from the Friday show, where Aaron Flint talked to Daria and her attorney Matthew Monfortin about this lawsuit against Montana State University, where they got a favorable settlement because MSU violated Daria's rights, constitutional rights. And how many Americans had their constitutional rights violated because they were banned on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or you name it simply for something they said, and for something they said that turned out to be true as well? Lots of people got banned on social media for commenting on Hunter Biden's laptop, which turned out to be true, for saying that COVID may have come from a lab, which turned out to be true. And in the background, you've literally got the federal government working hand in hand with big tech to violate Americans' constitutional rights. I think we have got to start filing lawsuits over these constitutional violations, just like Matthew Monfortin has done, protecting Daria's constitutional rights to not be forced to say one thing, and then when you come out and you say I disagree with you forcing me to say something that I don't want to say, and then to be discriminated against based on your religious and political beliefs, and to be mistreated and harassed. This is happening more and more against conservatives. And I mean, it's crazy to think that it's so funny because in law school, they always say, oh, nobody ever does constitutional litigation. You're just going to be doing, contracts and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, in 2023, we need more constitutional litigation. We need more lawsuits to protect people's constitutional rights because it's happening constantly. Conservatives' constitutional rights are being violated all across the country.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The fact that they didn't go after Hillary for deleting those emails and using BleachBit and destroying those devices, that special treatment, that wouldn't happen to all of you listening to this program, I promise you. They actively put their thumb on the scales in 2016. Even when the FBI in early October 2016 went to Christopher Steele, said, here's $1 million if you can corroborate your dossier, he couldn't collect because he couldn't corroborate. By the end of October, even though he couldn't corroborate it, and they used it as the bulk of information in a FISA application. And remember, it was Deputy FBI Director McCabe that said, well, if we didn't have the dossier, we wouldn't have gotten the FISA warrant. And nobody was held accountable.
The Sean Hannity Show, from coast to coast, later today.
Do you have more than $50,000 saved for retirement that you can't afford to lose? Biden's pro-inflation White House sent billions to Ukraine, burying U.S. in national debt, while doing nothing to stop inflation and help our own country. Can your retirement survive crippling inflation and growing debt at the same time? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, heed the warnings. Do something to protect yourself now. That's why, right now, thousands of Americans are using an IRS loophole to protect their retirement savings from everything that's going on. So call 855-815-GOLD to get your free IRS loophole kit and see how you could protect your retirement savings while getting up to $10,000 in free silver for doing it. We could be looking at a future worse than 2008, so don't wait. Call Gold Co. today. Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
800-900-8000.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Open phones 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970, whatever you want to talk about. By the way, that is Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at twitch.tv/lecturefan, on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube at LCTRFAN. If you want to support me, you can do so on Twitch. You can sub, you can cheer, you can donate. It's all there. Come check it out. We got a couple of messages here on the Montana Talks app, which, by the way, you can send me messages on the Montana Talks app, and I will read them and react. Got one from Tim in Billings. Tim says, why would anyone want to come to the U.S. from Venezuela? It's a socialist paradise. Socialism works so well that people will flee their homeland, travel hundreds if not thousands of miles, and then face crowd control measures just to try to get into a capitalist country. Weird. It's almost like socialism is a complete failure each and every time it's tried. Yes, Tim and Billings. Well said. Well said. Why? Isn't that the truth? People are fleeing Venezuela, fleeing socialist countries, all just to try to get into the United States. And this weekend, we saw thousands of illegal aliens from Venezuela rushing the border, rushing the bridge in El Paso, facing crowd control measures. And I'm just sitting here wondering, wait, hold on. I thought the Biden administration ended illegal immigration by just saying that all the Venezuelans could come in and get on some special program. Or why they ought to just file the fraudulent asylum claims that everybody else does. Turn themselves in, file an asylum claim. Then you get processed. Biden will process you. You come into the country, millions and millions and millions of illegal aliens every single year pouring into the country. Dennis from Bozeman says, are there any sources to determine which banks in Montana are woke? Dennis, yeah, go to their websites. Go to their websites. If there's a website and they say they're obsessed with fighting man-made global warming, and they're obsessed with environmental, social, and governance issues, or if they've got a diversity, equity, inclusion thing going on, that's going to be your sign. That's the best way to tell. And of course, most of them do. That's the problem with a lot of this stuff, is you simply cannot. You simply cannot get away from this wokeism. Almost all companies and businesses of any size these days have been taken over by the radical left and are using private businesses to push these policies. And the reason is because the radical left, they are very aggressive. People, why take the risk of having these aggressive, sort of violent people get upset with you? And it's really easy for businesses to say, hey, we don't want the Twitter mob coming after us, or we don't want BLM activists and Antifa activists coming after us. So we're just going to put up a diversity thing and a ESG thing, and we're gonna talk about going net neutral, green energy, footprint this, footprint that, and you name it. Meanwhile, the conservatives, we're not really doing anything about it. you've got this tiny, tiny minority on the radical left controlling everything because they're willing to use whatever tactics are necessary. And frankly, look, conservatives just, we're not doing what needs to be done. And so these companies are like, it's a decision where, hey, we can prevent a radical left boycott by going woke, and conservatives won't do anything to us. Conservatives won't pull their money. And so it becomes a pretty easy decision for them. Meanwhile, Joe Biden blocking all oil development in Alaska. Got a Fox News story here about that. I'm going to get into here at the 9 a.m. hour, going to get back into this Silicon Valley Bank bailout, how it's all Joe Biden and John Tester's fault, how they're the ones that triggered inflation, which triggered this whole thing, how this is a bailout of bailout proportions. Coming up right after this, David Noble in for Aaron Flint.